Oh, this is provocative, isn't it?
As are you.
This is, well, Wendy, Jasmine went out of her way to find music that fits my personality, and provocative is in right now. Hi, guys. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Welcome to the show. Call us. Text us 312-981-7200, and we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. A couple of things. Thing number one, do you remember the other day we started the show talking about houses and the way they decorate for Halloween and whether or not they're scary and everything? And I mentioned a house on Dearborn that I pass by on my way home every day. And in their yard, they have a vampire that's got to be 10 to 12 feet tall.
And not inflatable.
No, it's not inflatable. Yesterday, I rarely do this. I know. We now live in a world where you can't just tell anybody anything. There has to be either pictures or video of it to back it up. And I yesterday said, I don't think I did that thing justice, because I pass by it every day, and it's very
ominous.
It's ominous. Thank you. Yes, it is. It's ominous.
Intimidating.
It's intimidating and ominous.
Grandiose.
No, I wouldn't say it was grandiose. But it is a giant, if not Dracula, certainly a vampire with the cape and the fangs, and he's coming out of a coffin and stuff. So I took some pictures of it, and Jasmine is going to post it. Where are you going to post it, Jasmine? On our Facebook page or
I
where?
I just posted it.
It's posted right now.
You took a picture
I
with your phone?
Three. That, I don't do that. That's not in my wheelhouse.
This is special.
Right. But I wanted to show it because for this reason only. I'm an adult who passes by this thing every day, and I appreciate how scary it is. And that was their goal, you know, to put it up. It's the month of Halloween. Let's make things a little bit scary. But all I can think of when I see this giant vampire is, I know that there's a kid or two kids out there who live on the block who must just be frightened out of their minds to leave their house because they'll see this thing. In the daytime, it's not so bad. But at night, to see this giant vampire just leering at you as you walk down the street, are you seeing it?
Yeah.
Am I right? It's really good.
It is good, but it's very cartoony. That wouldn't scare me as a kid.
That wouldn't scare you as a child, no?
How did they do that?
I can't figure it out, because it's gigantic.
How much did that cost?
I don't know.
And why is he wearing a gold medal? Was he in the Olympics?
Well, Dracula always had medals.
For what? Sucking?
No, because then the bears would also have medals. The bears and Dracula would have the exact same medals.
Jared Payton's going to punch you.
Bears might be leading the league.
All right, Jared's going to punch you, too.
Luckily, he's on the phone, because I would have a mark on me every week when we talk to Jared about the bears.
My God, is that a great Dracula.
Isn't that great?
Go to our Facebook page,
it's
listeners.
It's so big. Like, if it was, even if it was just normal human-sized Dracula, you'd go, oh, that's pretty scary. But when it's that big, when it's that nightmarish, I wanted to knock on the door and say thank you to those people, because it's so frightening. But then, like I said, there's some kid out there who just doesn't want to leave their house because they see this thing.
It doesn't look real, and vampires aren't giants.
It's scarier because it doesn't look real, because it's so nightmarish. You know how in your nightmares, everything is out of proportion?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Some things are bigger than they should be. Some things are smaller. Some things are faster. So this makes it more nightmarish, the fact that it's just so big. There's one by me in Evanston that I've passed by twice, where it's a monster. It's not one of your famous monsters. It's not a werewolf or a vampire or something like that. It's just this big, giant, ghoulish monster. And they've put these two strobe lights behind it. And at night, like without the strobe lights, it would be kind of scary. But with the strobe lights, again, it makes it so nightmarish. It's that little extra that puts it over the edge, you know?
This goes up to, like, the roof of their porch.
Yeah. Yeah.
How much did this thing cost, I wonder?
I don't know. And I'm not a photographer, so I'm not good at capturing all the detail.
No, it's very artsy.
But can you see in the picture that I brought in, can you see the casket that it's emerging from, or any of the pumpkins, or any of the... You can see that, too? All right. Because I was trying to get all that in the picture.
Wow, you
really
are very artsy.
I am the Ansel Adams of WGN. There's no question about that. Or the Mapplethorpe.
Well, no, because the vampire's wearing clothes.
Right. Yeah, the owners of the house. I'm like, I'm just going to take his clothes off for the one photo. No, we'd prefer you didn't. Mapplethorpe Jr.
Boy, that would be funny if somebody took a picture of you taking Dracula's clothes off.
Right.
Now you're talking.
I'd have to live that down for years.
Well, kudos to them, because I really have looked around some of the neighborhoods, mainly our own, and there still are people. It's weird because I don't decorate anymore because my kids are past that.
Yeah.
I have so many little knickknacks that are Halloween-y, and I don't even put them up in the house anymore.
What's up right now at your house? What do you have going at
Nothing.
Your house? Nothing. When you asked me that question the other day, I was trying in my head to remember if we have anything up, and all we have is a string. You know how with Christmas lights, you know, there'll be a string of something. So they're just kind of frosted pumpkins, and that's inside on our
mantle.
Like our mantle, and that's all we have. Like, there were years when the girls were little that there was quite
out.
A bit of effort. Yeah.
But I went more cutesy and farmhouse than I did scary for the kids.
Yeah.
But I looked around, and either a house has absolutely nothing, which is the majority of the houses, or you have your house that is just completely decked out like it was Christmas. There
right.
are lights. There are tombstones. There are hands coming out of the ground.
Yeah.
That's just so much work.
You know, they started a thing a few years ago where you can buy, and it's I don't think it's that expensive. You get them at Target. It's a projector system that, like, at Christmas time will put candy canes or snowflakes. It'll make it look like it's moving down your house. So not far from us, there's one that do ghosts where it's all over the house.
How do you know it's a projector?
Wendy, that's the question. No one knows.
Our Facebook page, if you just look it up, says, is it Bill F. and Wendy Snyder? It's pretty easy to find.
Yeah. Yeah, and there are pictures. Jess, did you do all of them or just one of them?
There are three.
All three, yeah. So you can see the giant vampire that I'm positive is scaring kids on Dearborn. I'm positive.
You're obsessed with this vampire.
I love it. I look forward to passing it every day. There's a couple on my way home that I look forward to seeing. And like I said, I'm seeing them in the daytime, and they're kind of scary. But at night, if you're a little kid, wow. Wow.
Like I said, I don't think kids get scared these days anymore.
That's sad. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We've got a full show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. Wendy, there is something I want to talk about. But first, very quickly, you brought something up. Dracula, for those of you who ever saw any of the Bela Lugosi movies or the Christopher Lee movies, for some reason, in addition to having the very nicely pressed suit and the cape, always has a medal. I'm looking at pictures of it right now. It's got a red band. It's kind of a 1, 2, 3, 4, 8-pointed star. There's a red ruby in the middle.
Red ruby. Red ruby.
They never really delve into why Dracula wears a medal. I don't see any explanation why. My guess is synchronized swim. I know that when he was young, he was very much involved in synchronized swim. So evidently at some point he won a competition. But don't you think at some point one of his victims would have asked him, prior to being a victim, of course, as he was approaching them, just to make conversation, you know, to throw him off the track. Hey, curious about the medal. Where'd the medal come from? I don't remember that scene in any Dracula movie.
Yeah. Although it says on SmithsonianMag.com, interesting fact about the Dracula medallion. Medallion.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually based on the real medal awarded to Count Victor von Dracula during the vampire wars of the 14th century.
Oh.
And Bela Lugosi was allegedly buried with one version of the medal. The other version, if it ever existed, was lost during the production of the film.
I've been told, and I think they talk about this in Ed Wood, that when Bela Lugosi died, it wasn't just the medal. Didn't he wear the full Dracula costume
when he
died?
Why does he wear a tuxedo? That's what I'm wondering.
Turnabout dance. Going to turnabout. Yeah, you're right. There's never a casual wear for Dracula. He's never wearing cargo shorts, a tank. You never see him wearing
a sweatsuit.
Yeah,
like Polly Walnuts. Right. Wouldn't that be great to see a cash
Dracula? Casula. All right. I didn't know this was going to happen in my lifetime, Wendy, but the internet has turned on Kelly Ripa.
Everybody loves her.
Everybody loves. Well, you thought they did, but now the internet has turned on Kelly Ripa.
What'd she do?
I will explain why. On Tuesday night, she was on Jimmy Kimmel Live, and she was talking about one of her sons, Michael Consuelos, who is now 22 years old and attends school in Brooklyn, New York, at New York University.
She has a 22-year-old?
Yeah.
They started young.
With Mark Consuelos, yeah.
So this is also Mark Consuelos, the kid?
No, the kid is Michael.
Oh, okay,
the husband
sorry.
Is Mark. And
he's
I know they
babe.
Have a daughter also, but it doesn't say her name. She's not in the story. But Jimmy was asking about how things have changed for the family now that the older one, Michael, is living somewhere else, is living in at school at New York University. So here's this was her joke. See if you can figure out why people are so upset. All right. She said, I think he loves his freedom. He hates paying his own rent, and he's chronically poor. I don't think he's ever really experienced extreme poverty like now. And that got a laugh. But why are people angry?
Because she's never experienced poverty, well, and the kid never did.
It's that part of the phrase. It's that she said that her son, now...
It was a joke.
As we would imagine, the Consuelos-Ripa family has some money, right? She's been working very steadily. He works very steadily. They obviously live in a nice place. They've got a bunch of cash. So people are saying that, you know, for a family that's wealthy, to even joke about extreme poverty is unacceptable, and the internet voted, and they agreed.
Just everybody relax. It was a joke.
She was joking, right. And the point she was trying to get across, and anybody who's put kids through college, is when you live at home, it is kind of an unlimited amount of cash source. You know, there's always money to be had. You live at home, you just say, hey, I'm leaving, can I have some money? And you give them some money, and that's it. But when they're at school, it's structured a little bit differently. It is not extreme poverty, obviously. I'm sure if her son needs some money, he makes a phone call, he sends a text, and the money's in his account, or they send him the money, whatever. But she was kidding about it. So why is everybody so sensitive to that?
Because everybody's sensitive about everything. I mean, obviously, she's not experiencing poverty
right.
levels, and
right.
nor is her child.
Right.
My mom did not make very much money. She was a single parent. And when I went away to Illinois State, and I would write checks, usually for pizza, and yeah. I would overdraw my account, I called and said, I need some
yeah.
money, and she put it
right.
in there.
Right. Well, she's gone out of her way to say that she grew up without a lot of money, and her husband grew up without a lot of money. They were never at extreme poverty level, but they grew up not wealthy. They've turned their lives around. They've done very well financially. She was just kidding. She didn't mean to hurt anybody's feelings. But remember how, I shouldn't even say remember now, remember, because it still kind of goes on. Just during the course of conversation, you say things. Like, how many times as a kid did somebody say, oh, I'm going to kill that guy? And you knew he wasn't going to go kill that guy.
Right.
It was just the way things were worded.
People can't talk anymore, really, if you talk to someone, you could probably, if you want to nitpick, you could probably find something offensive in something they've said.
There's no question about it.
I smell toast. Am I having a stroke?
There is toast in, they've added a toast room now here at WGN. Did you know that?
No.
Remember where the green room used to be? It's
all
toast.
They say that
now.
That's like the sign that you're having a stroke is you smell toast.
If you're having one, I'm having one too.
Okay, good. That's all I wanted to know. Back to business.
You're not
Thank
complaining.
You, Jordan. No, I love the smell
Everyone
of toast.
Everyone loves the smell of toast.
But the smell of toast also scares me because I think I'm having a stroke.
Hopefully the building is not burning.
Oh, but
that would be breaking
so
news at 10:30. Yeah.
Not burning, Jordan, but if the building was toasting, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
Ooh, like a delicate
Hopefully
s'more.
It's a light toast.
Right.
All right, I just right. wanted to make sure because I no. was worried about that right now.
You know when people say, like they're kidding when they say this, but they'll say, I could tell, like you'll ask somebody a question and then their answer is, I'd tell you, but then I'd have to kill you. And then everybody laughs politely.
Yes.
In the history of that phrase, has anybody really thought that if you did tell somebody something that they would have to kill them? That's just a joke.
I bet now people can't take it as a joke. People call authorities. I'd honestly, you can't say anything. I guess Walter Jacobson burned his toast.
Wait, you ruined Jordan's headline.
Sorry.
Jordan, we're sorry.
It's all right. I don't need to do a news at 10:30. It's not a big deal.
I just wanted to inform people that's what happened.
So for anyone out there who ever thinks they're having a stroke, just realize that it could be Walter Jacobson in the area burning toast. So you know that's good. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news. Jordan has the news, and then there's a lot more show ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Well, he went down to dinner in his Sunday best. Excitable boy, they all said.
If you need to refinance, if you're purchasing a house, I have to tell you the honest to God truth. David Hochberg is the only person I trust. He's vice president of lending for Team Hochberg at Homeside Financial. David, when I heard you first, you were on a radio somewhere else, and I was mesmerized at the way you work numbers. And I said to Jimmy Mack, we got to call him. We got to figure this out. And you couldn't help us right away because we were credit challenged.
Yeah.
Followed your advice, and lo and behold, things are looking up. So yeah, thanks for helping people.
Sure. And listen, it's a passion, and it's what I do for a living, and it comes naturally. I don't, some people could drive a bus, some people could kick a football, some people could shoot hockey pucks. I can't do any of those, but I could do mortgages, and I'm good with numbers, always have been, and it's a good feeling when you could help people solve their financial challenges.
I have a question for you, David, that is ripped from today's headlines.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I can't wait.
Yesterday, as they were talking about this school strike and talking about the budgets of the city of Chicago, Mayor Lightfoot said or alluded to the fact that she wants to refinance some things in the city to move money around.
Yep.
Cities can refinance?
Sure. Municipalities can. And I want to thank Ro. I was driving home yesterday in my car, and Ro mentioned that Mayor Lightfoot should call David Hochberg and get some advice. So I appreciate the shout out.
Has she called yet?
No, not yet. 855-56-DAVID, 563-2843, if Mayor Lightfoot needs some advice on that.
How Bill, it's funny. I didn't know that a municipality could do
that. I never heard of that.
Municipalities can refinance their debt.
How does it happen differently?
Same thing.
For it's the same process.
Thing. It's based upon the credit. It's based upon the income coming in. It's based upon the credit worthiness of the municipalities. They go by, take out new bonds to cash in older bonds that are higher interest rates and take out lower interest rate bonds. Yeah. Why this wasn't done in the past, or maybe it was and we never heard about it, but absolutely. Municipalities should be taking advantage of these lower rates as homeowners taking advantage, and property owners are taking advantage of these lower rates too, because it's not only homeowners. It's property owners. What does that mean? Somebody that owns investment properties are looking to refinance to lower their monthly payments, maybe take some money out. Mm-hmm. I just helped a guy on the west side, retired city worker, lives over Bridgeport, take out 75 G's out of his home. He lives in a three unit home, took out 75 grand. He was all nervous. He was like 69, 70 years old. He's retired. He didn't want to. His wife kept saying, call Hochberg already. Call Hochberg. What are you doing? I don't want to do it. Called me, bing, bang, boom. Within 30 days, he had $75,000 in his hand. We paid off all of his debt, which reduced his overall monthly payment. And yes, we took out $75,000, and yes, his mortgage payment went up a little bit, but the savings that he saved by paying off his credit card debt wiped out the increase in the monthly payment of his mortgage. Like, it went up like $100, but he saved $100 paying off his debt. Bottom line is, he had 75 grand out of his homes to invest and fix up an investment property that he owned in the neighborhood, and replace the roof and do all three bathrooms in the three-unit building that he owned in Bridgeport. Mm-hmm. So here's a guy 69 mm-hmm. years old, never hadn't refinanced in years, thought it was such a major headache. 30 days, we got it done. The wife was like, call him already, call him already. What are you waiting for? And he finally got around to it, and he called it, and I went to his house. We joked around. I saw his grandkids. You know, I said, listen, I'm going to make it as easy as possible for you. I'm going to be in the city. Let me just shoot out to Bridgeport. I think I was on the radio here or something. You know, popped out to Bridgeport, picked up a Rico Benny steak sandwich on the way home. And because you have to, you got to pick up a Rico Benny. You don't have that in the north side where I live.
Right.
So I gained a couple pounds. I had to pop down one of those long ones. It got a little messy, but it was good. Yeah, it's a Rico
Do
Benny
his steak. Wife's voice again. I liked his wife's voice.
You call Hochberg already. What the hell's wrong with you?
She's a smoker. I know that.
All right, so we've been in our house 21 years.
And you've refinanced 17 times.
No, it's been a lot. But I do want to say this. When did refinancing happen? Because when we purchased our house 21 years ago,
different
I just remember how nervous I was, because it's like, oh my God, 30 years? We've already been in there 21.
Yep.
Now, granted, in a perfect world, we would have saved our money. We'd be, 9 years away from paying off our home. But we chose to rearrange the monetary furniture, if you will.
Right.
And we've been able to do things. And if this isn't your cup of tea, then don't refinance or 100%. Don't do things.
Here, I think it was on this show or another show, I talked about, it might have been with Pete at night or something, I talked about how there was a 60-year-old couple
that had two properties. Again, two properties. They had over $100,000 worth of student loan. It might have been here. $100,000.
Are you seeing other shows, David?
I am seeing other shows.
Oh, come on.
Yes, I get around other shows. And the long story short, we pulled out over $100,000 of their home's equity out of their investment property and their primary residence. Paid off three student loans. Paid off a ton of debt.
Mm-hmm.
And we saved them a ton of money. And that some people be critical. Oh, you know, you shouldn't be stripping the equity out of a 60-year-old person's house. Nobody's holding a gun to these folks' heads, right? I'm giving them a solution. I'm like, hey, you've got all of this equity in your home. It's the same to me as cash. You've got 100 to 125 grand worth of debt over here that's costing you X. We could pull out 125 G's out of your house to make X go away, and you'll be saving Y. Okay, so my question is, why wouldn't you do that? That was a good setup if you didn't pick it up. Why?
Yeah.
Right? So why wouldn't you do that? Okay, so you're going to sit in a house with over $100,000, $125,000 worth of debt. Yes, they made the decision to send their three or four kids or five kids to college and help fund partially some of their college education. Kids still have their own student loans.
Right.
Okay, this is all that they could afford. Plus, they had credit card debt. Plus, the wife got sick, couldn't work. What are they supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
Not feed the family, not take care of the grandkids, not send their kids to school, not maintain the house. They do what you got to do, what you got to do to get by to another day until the sun goes down, until the sun comes up.
Sure. You
just have people struggling out there.
Yeah.
It's Thursday, right? People got paid last Friday. They don't know where the next, you know, how they're going to pay the electric bill at the end of the month. They don't know where the car payment's going to come from.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody driving to work today blew out a tire. There's $400. You got to pay for the tow truck, a buck and a half. You got to pay for the, you know, you might have dented the wheel, or, you know, the rim. You need a new rim because we have such great roads here. All these things are happening. Life happens. And if people that own a home have got equity in their home, they want to take it out and take advantage of these lower rates.
You don't have to.
You
but
don't
if
have
they choose
to. But it's. I talked to a guy yesterday. Hey, I've been sitting in a 5% loan. I'm like, how long have you been in the 5% loan? 12 years. I'm like, okay, why haven't you? I'm just asking questions.
Right.
I'm like, how come you haven't refinanced? Why it's taking so long? Well, you know what? My credit wasn't that great. I was between jobs. I'm like, okay. It's like, I listen to you all the time on the radio. I've done everything you said. My credit's 750, 760. I'm in a great spot. Home values probably came back. He's out in the DeKalb, Richland area. The home values finally are starting to come back west of Aurora. He's like, I'm in a position. I'm ready to go. I'm like, all right, let's go. So he's talking to a real estate professional in the area to find out what he thinks his home's worth so he could set it up. And we're going to put him into a rate that's going to start with a 4, cover all his closing costs. He's going to save $200-$300 a month.
Do you do an impression of his wife or not?
I'm not yet.
All right, we'll come back when you get his wife down. We'll take a quick break and then more with David Hochberg, 312-981-7200. If you have any questions or comments, it's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Vice President of Lending of Team Hochberg at Homeside Financial is with us, David Hochberg. A couple of texts real quickly. Love this guy. I did a cash out refi. I now have $1,500 a month extra and one bill to pay. Amazing. More people need to talk to David.
Great.
Are there rules? This is another caller, 815. Are there rules for how often you can refinance? We refinanced a few years ago, but need to pay off some credit card debt.
No, absolutely not. Typically, you have to wait 6 months after you refinance for it not to be considered a cash out refinance any longer. That's a lending rule, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, VA, FHA. So what we've done a lot of is we've encouraged our borrowers to do a cash out refinance as soon as possible, take the money out, pay off their debt, let their credit get enhanced, because by paying off debt and not reloading and blowing your foot off again, your credit should be better in 180 days. After we cross over that 180 day mark, we could take a look to see what rates are. We don't know what rates are going to be in the future. We're not predicting it. We're not promising anything, but if rates stay the same as they are today, we could typically get them into a much lower rate with a higher credit score because it's considered what's called a rate and term refinance. You're not taking money out of your home anymore, because when you take money out of your home, it's a higher risk loan, and the rate goes up. It's a higher rate. So when you're doing a refinance to not take any money out and just lower the rate, maybe lower the term, your rate would be a lot lower than it would typically be with the cash out refinance. So we took out, help listeners remove over $1.3 million of their home's equity last month alone, just in the month of September. And reduce their monthly payments by $12,000 a month.
Yipes.
We're now up to an annualized savings of over $1.6 million a year. And my goal is to get that to 2 million. I started doing the tracking it every single month. We're up to $1.6 million on an annualized basis. $12,000 a month savings just last month. So, and we're going to have another huge month helping our listeners out right now. And the lady or gentleman that texted from 630, I will find out who didn't call you back, and I will fix that problem as soon as I get off the air, because I strive on calling people back and getting people back on a timely basis. If one of my staff is not doing it, they will hear from me, and there will be
heads will roll.
There will be an 11.5 triple E up.
Here's another text, kind of conversely, it's different to what we talked about. I've heard you talk many times about how you're helping people by paying off credit card debt with a refinance of their mortgage. That is not helping people. They will just do it again and put themselves in the same spot. These people need good, sound financial advice on their spending habits, not just a refinance. All that does is set them up for bankruptcy.
100% right. And we should all exercise and eat 3 square meals a day. And we should all weigh 180 pounds and not eat any sugar and not eat any chocolate, not any fried foods. So here's how, you know, that's the analogy. I agree with that texture 100%, but this is the real world. So if I'm driving down the street and I got a hose in the back of my car and you know, big load of water, and I pass by a 3-alarm fire, I'm going to pull over if somebody says, hey, can you help me put this fire out? I'm going to whip out my hose, and I'm going to pump the water, and I'm going to start trying to put the fire out. And if I can put the fire out, I'll put the fire out. Okay, I'm not going to drive by a fiery building. If somebody's screaming for help, I'm going to pull over, I'm going to try to help them, and I'm going to keep on. Now, if that person, after I fix up, put the fire out, wants to burn their house down again, it's not my problem if they're going to go burn the house down again. I'm trying to help put the fire out in the basement they got before it hits the roof.
And this, you're not...
This is a metaphor, right?
It's a metaphor. Okay, yeah, that came out. I tried to come up with something.
They should have a financial advisor as well. That's not what you're doing. They need help at that moment. You help them.
You're coming to me because you have financial challenges.
Right.
And you came to me to refinance.
Yes.
Okay, you're like, David, this is the offer that we're getting. I'm like, Bill, that's great. You're like, my wife's already down the road with their friend who does it and everything else. I said, great, you're getting a great rate. You might want to consider going back to them and doing these two or three things, which you did, which enabled you to get a much better, lower rate and save more in closing costs than if you would have talked to me, right? Your wife had the relationship with the other lender, fine.
Yeah.
You came to me for advice a couple, 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
I gave you advice on how to lower that rate and lower the closing costs, which helped you. Did I make any money off it?
You did not.
Thank you. Wendy has come to me a number of different times to overcome her challenges, because you know what? Life's expensive. And, and you're not living in reality, because it's not like in the radio industry. It's the most secure industry on the planet.
Yes.
Okay? And sometimes you have a job, and sometimes you don't have a job, and sometimes you're out of a job for longer than you think, but you still got to feed your kids.
Yes.
And you still got to drive, and you still got a dog, and you still got a house, and you still got all this stuff
going on. All right, 855-56, David. I'm going to interrupt you so we can get one call in, because we have like 2 minutes here.
Go.
So, Linda, go.
I wish David was more passionate about what he did.
Impossible.
Question. I'm in a very fortunate position, and I know that. I have about 3 years left on a loan that's got 2.8%.
Great.
$25,000. I could pay it off right now if I wanted to. What do you think?
I
have no credit card debt.
I think you should call up my friend Joe at Republic Bank. Take out a line of credit against your house up to 85% of the value of your house, because you can. You make, you know, 2.8. Listen, if you can earn more money, I look at it like this. If you can earn more than 2.8% on something else, on another investment, you put in another investment. That's what I have. I have 3.375 on a 30-year fixed loan on my home. Why should I pay that down when my financial planner is earning me more than 3.375 in another investment vehicle? That's just me. Some people are like, I only got $20,000 left. I got 20 in the bank. I don't want to have a mortgage anymore. Write the check. That's on you. But I would not be sitting in a home without having access to the equity of the home. And the best time to gain access to the equity of the home is when you don't need access to the equity of the home. Because typically when you need access to the equity of the home, something's going wrong and you can't get access to the equity of your home. So if you want, you make the decision. I would talk to your financial planner. I'm not a financial planner. About what's best for you. About paying that off. But in my opinion, if it was me, if I could earn more than 2.8%, I'm going to invest it someplace else. But I would get a home equity line of credit up to 85%. If you want to send me an email, david@56david, I will introduce you to Joe at Republic Bank. That's who we send all our HELOCs to. We don't make any money on it. It's public service. And Joe will take care of you.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Okay, have a great day.
Real quick, David, my credit stinks. Can I take equity from my home to begin rebuilding?
Depends what your definition of stinks is, because some people think their credit stinks at 660, and that's not horrible. My opinion is if it starts with a 5, you've got some credit challenges. Okay, and what I would tell that person is you call Gary Novell at 630-624-9557. He's the credit enhancement expert that I refer everybody to. If you use Gary's services, it's like $350 for a single person, $600 for couples, which is way too cheap, but Gary won't increase his prices. He helps you enhance it. You come back to us, we will give you a credit for the $350 or the $600 if you went in as a single or a couple. The people have to make the investment in themselves. The listeners have to make investment in themselves to enhance your credit. So if you have really challenged credit, you call Gary, 630-624-9557. He'll enhance your credit. You come back to us, we'll give you a credit for that.
So it's free, basically.
It's an investment in yourself. You're right. Paying it ahead, and then we'll give it back to you when you close.
I have something to tell you unrelated. Yes. I know you did a couple of months ago now. You did one of the Steve Bertrand travel trips. You hosted one.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if Steve told you, but he glowed about how great you were as a
Thank
host.
You.
He just went on and on and on about
it. I was leader of Bus 2.
Were you in charge of Bus 2?
I was in charge of Bus 2. I killed it as a leader. We had some challenges, but I overcame them.
Yeah.
Bus 1 had Cochran, so enough said there.
All right.
And Bus 3 was leadership.
Yeah.
Was rudderless.
Yeah.
So they were all coming to me for my guidance.
It's like Lord of the Flies.
Because I did such a tremendous job of Bus 2. I want to thank Steve for that opportunity that I learned 48 hours before the trip.
You'll do it again?
I'll do it again any day.
All right.
855-56-DAVID, 56david.com. He is David Hochberg, Vice President of Lending, Team Hochberg at Homeside Financial. Thank you, David.
Thanks, David.
Thanks for having me. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
I don't even know what to say anymore.
Bear down Chicago Bears or fall down Chicago Bears? What are they singing? I couldn't make that out.
God, we go live to Jarrett Payton, sports anchor for WGN-TV. Jarrett, I apologize for Bill, but I don't know now. I'm starting to side with Bill a little bit. I'm losing hope.
No. Listen, Wendy, don't do it. Stay where you are. Don't keep your feet planted. And I saw the gif that you posted about how you were feeling that I posted out there. Listen, you can feel that way. But don't go to Bill's side, man. I'll talk you off the ledge.
All right.
I'll talk you off the ledge.
Explain
right
this Twitter thing that you put out there, because I participated, and Bill will respect what I put. Go ahead, Jarrett.
So I was sitting in the press box, and I was lost like every other Bears fan was lost, right? I didn't know what to do. I didn't know, like, what to tweet. And when the Bears aren't playing up to par or where I think they should be playing, sometimes I just lose thought when it comes to the Twitter machine.
Sure.
And so I just was like, I don't have anything. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put it out there for give me a gift of, like, of what you're feeling right now and let me know. And I got over like 1,500 of them. I didn't think it would go that crazy,
wow,
but it did. And I saw people losing their lunch, all types of stuff that people were posting. And it kind of gave Bears fans an opportunity to tell how they felt about the Saints game.
I used a picture of Lucille Ball. I love Lucy.
Yeah.
Who was just like looking like, oh. Like, I didn't even know how to caption it, so I didn't put any words, just the picture. But ugh, I guess, would be it. This is week number 8. Forgive me for saying this, but when did the Los Angeles team become the Chargers?
They it's kind of went over everybody's head. Even, I think, yesterday, someone from, I think it was Allen Robinson, some of the sound we got, he was like, we're just focused on the San Diego Chargers. I'm like, they moved to L.A. So
when did that happen, and did I miss this? I don't know how I missed this, but
don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'll tell you what, the biggest thing is, so the Bears have to figure out how to get this W this weekend. I mean, with all these Bears fans and my Twitter account and my phone going off of people asking me what is going on, I think the Bears are trying to figure out what's going on as well. They can't really figure it out. There's a lot of question marks that need to be answered, and this team understands that they're under the microscope after having such an unbelievable season last year, and they were supposed to back it up, and right now it's not working, and we're in the season already. We're heading into the seventh game of the year, and when you're playing NFL football, you got to be able to kind of adjust on the fly. And Matt Nagy still hasn't shown us that yet. And this is something, this is going to be a critical game because they can't lose three games in a row. They got to stop the bleeding somewhere. And this is the week to do it against the Chargers.
Jared, it's always hurtful when you see that graphic, and I know they played it last week, of where Mitch Trubisky was drafted and where other quarterbacks were drafted after him who are thriving. Mahomes over in Kansas City is your best example of that. That hurts when you see that because that's another opportunity where the Bears could have or should have chosen a different man, and they didn't, and that hurts, doesn't it?
It hurts a lot of Bears fans out there, Bill. It's probably one of the things that I hear the most, but like I tell everybody all the time, there's nothing that we can do about it now. You got to hope for the best for Trubisky. And just to see this city, I know that we expect a lot here, and I get it. This young man, he's a really good kid. I get a chance to interact with him. He didn't select himself. Ryan Pace selected him, so mm-hmm. Everybody getting mad at Trubisky for that. He had no control over that. He got picked where he got picked. And now the thing is they got to figure out what's best for him and what's going to give him the best opportunity to be successful. And right now, last week, dropping back 54 times and throwing the ball, right now I don't think that's his strength. And the one thing that he has shown even last season that we saw was his legs, using his feet. And I know the shoulder is still probably kind of tender here and there, but that's one of the things about his game that makes him special. So Matt Nagy's got to figure out a way to be able to do that. And since we've been doing this since the season started, they got to figure out a way to run the football. And that means that offensive line has to man up. They have a bunch of running backs that they can give it to. David Montgomery is ready to go. I would be frustrated if I was him because I know if I can get to the second level of defenses that I could probably break off a lot of runs. He can do that. We haven't seen it yet. It's not him. It's the guy calling the plays. And Matt Nagy has to figure out a way to do that because he can't keep telling us every single week, we got to run the football. Well, we want to see it on the football field. And I know he does as well, but he's got to stick to it and commit to the run. If he can do that, that will take that pressure off of his quarterback.
All right, now I'm going to say something incredibly optimistic, but also almost fantasy-like. On Tuesday, I read not one but two articles, one by Phil Rosenthal in the Tribune, one by Brian Perez over at Channel 5, both suggesting that Tom Brady could be the Bears quarterback next year. Is that even a remote possibility?
I don't think it's a possibility, but, I mean, anything is possible. I don't think it's a possibility, but, you know, it's tough. And every successful team in the NFL, these quarterbacks, people always wonder why they're getting paid all this money. It's a tough job. And being around some good ones, I was with Steve McNair in Tennessee, mm-hmm. to be able to be around him, also to be around Jim McMahon and talking to these guys about what it takes, the preparation and all that stuff and the hours that they put into it. You see why they're successful. They have to be able to be coaches on the football field. Right now, Mitch is not there, so that's why we're seeing those inconsistencies. If you can go get a quarterback, it's still there's other issues as well, but they got to figure it out. But the biggest one starts with the guy who's under center, and he's got to be better, and 10 knows he has to be better, especially this week.
So Mitch Trubisky will be starting, right?
Yes, Mitch will be starting. I don't see anything different changing, and as of right now, he is the one thing he needs, Wendy, and I've always said this by watching his film, he always needs more time. And so Bears fans who thought that it was going to be, you know, they were going to see this progression, I've always known from watching him from college that he was going to need more time. And just watching him progress in this offense, it's not as fast as I thought it would be, but I thought he would take some bigger steps. He knows that he's taken a step back this season. And now with the pressure, not just being a quarterback, but being in this city, there's a lot of pressure on this young man. He's got to find a way to be able to block it out, not go to Instagram, not go to Twitter, not listen to what people are saying, what the person at the gas station is saying. He needs to go out there with his guys, make the plays that he needs to make, the ones that he's making in practice. That's got to be able to translate over to the field. If he can't do that, it's going to be a long 10 games for the rest of this season.
And what he doesn't need, Jared, is opponents trying to knock him down. Can we get the Chargers to agree to that and not try to knock him down when he's trying to throw a ball?
Well, I mean, if you tell the Chargers they can come on your show or yes. something like that, they might, or maybe take them like out to eat.
Right.
Maybe that's a possibility.
Right.
But
I would suggest a 5,000 count. You know, where you go 1,000, 2,000, and then you can rush them. Give them 5,000. See what happens.
I think that's where football is going anyway.
Yes.
Man, they want to. It's gonna. It's soon. It's gonna be two hand touch. I mean, that's just the way that it
right.
is.
I did say Monday when we came back on the air after the weekend that I feel really sorry for Mitch Trubisky because we put all our eggs in his basket and that's big time pressure for him. But now I'm getting to the point where, come on, show us what you have. Have one good game here and give us a little hope.
Well, that's what he's hoping for as well. And, you know, that pressure comes with the position and it comes with playing in the NFL. And he knew that. He knows what goes on, and especially when you know the kind of city you're coming to that expects a lot. You know, people are always you're going to be under a microscope, and right now he is. And I think that's the cool thing is let's see how he bounces back. Let's see what he does this Sunday. If he can come out and have a big game, throw a bunch of touchdowns, be efficient. I want to see how what the fan base does and where they go, which directions they go, because man, he's a good kid, man. I've been around him. He studies hard. He works hard. Things just aren't going his way right now, but we got to figure out with him, he's got to figure out himself what is going to make him successful. And because he puts the time in, now he's just got to be able to translate it over to the football field.
A very hopeful Jared Payton. Jared, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Our fingers are crossed.
Hey, my fingers are crossed, too. I just got to say I'm super happy about David Ross.
Yeah.
He's a Cubs fan right here. So that is a big deal for all the Cubs Nation out there on the north side.
Agreed. Agreed 100%. Thanks, Jared. Have a great weekend.
Thanks,
we'll talk
JP.
To you next week.
All right, bye, guys.
That's Jared Payton. Hopeful.
Well, that's all I am, too.
Right.
If you're hateful. If I'm hopeful and hateful.
Right.
Middays here on WGN.
It's Bill and Wendy. We're 312-981-7200. You can call us there, or you can text us there. Did you by any chance happen to see a special last night over on ABC called Harry and Meghan, An African Journey?
No, but I understand Meghan Markle is having some difficulty.
She is. Now, I didn't see the whole thing. I missed the first 15 minutes. I watched the last 45 minutes of it. So when they put this thing together originally, I think their goal was to kind of get a log of their trip to Africa, as the title would imply. But what they found was there's a lot going on behind the scenes with these two. There's all kinds of trouble going on behind the scenes. And it was amazing at how candid both of them were, particularly Meghan Markle. I've never heard either of them be this honest before. The guy who interviewed them is a guy named Tom Bradby, who I've seen before doing similar things. I know he's followed the royal family on and off for years doing various things. He talks about that a little bit in the special. They go to some of the places that Princess Diana had also visited in Africa. So Harry evidently has been going there since he was a teenager. He wants to keep up with a lot of what his mom had done in Africa in terms of children with AIDS and animal rescue and all kinds of things that she was very passionate about. He wants to carry that tradition on.
She did a great job.
She did an amazing job. And I have to say, he's done a really good job of picking up the mantle for her. But I think it became very obvious to them early on that, and all of this is very recent, that things are not going particularly well behind the scenes, that Meghan Markle
does not like being in the royal family,
It's strange, you know. I'll run a clip for you, and then I'll tell you about somebody who's saying that we should not feel sorry for her. Because when I watched it last night, all I could do was feel sorry for her. I can't even imagine what it's like where 24 hours a day you're under a spotlight. And I know she was an actress, and I know she knew she was marrying into a royal family, so it can't be that big of a surprise. And she even says, I knew what I was getting into, but I didn't know it'd be like this, that it would be so unfair. So here's about a minute from last night, and then we'll talk about the aftermath. This is Meghan Markle talking to the journalist Tom Bradby
Listen to this.
He's obviously very concerned about protecting you and protecting you from what he felt his mother went through. It's obviously an area one has to tiptoe into very gently, but I don't know what the impact on your physical and mental health of all the pressure that you clearly feel under.
I would say, look, any woman, when they're, especially when they're pregnant, you're really vulnerable, and so that was made really challenging. And then when you have a newborn, you know, you,
it's a long time ago, but I remember.
You know, and especially as a woman, it's really, it's a lot. So you add this on top of just trying to be a new mom or trying to be a newlywed. It's well, I guess, and also thank you for asking, because not many people have asked if I'm okay. But it's a very real thing to be going through behind the scenes.
And the answer is, would it be fair to say not really okay, since it's really been a struggle?
Yes.
The most telling moment of that is where she thanks him for asking, and she says, not many people have asked. There's people around her constantly. The media's around her, the paparazzi's around her, the royals are around her telling her what she can and can't do. And I think she was very, very genuine when she said to this guy, thank you for you could just see it in her eyes, like, I'm struggling here. I need somebody to ask me if I'm okay, because I'm not okay.
And I love the fact that she admits she's not okay. You have two sides of people out there right now with many things, but one is, you know, if I hear the term snowflake one more time, I'm going to punch someone. You know, just because you say I'm not okay and I need help doesn't make you weak. It doesn't make you a loser. It actually shows that you're being quite honest with yourself, and it's okay to say, yeah, this is not easy.
I agree with you.
Your pride has to be, you know, put aside several times in your life.
Oh, yeah. I also imagine, now, evidently this footage had already run in the UK. We didn't get to see it till last night on ABC for this special, but evidently this has already been shown a little bit, or snippets of it anyway, have been shown in the UK. I imagine somebody, after seeing this or hearing what her comments were, took her aside and said, we don't do that. We keep this stuff private. You can't just go out. And Harry, to some extent...
Yes.
Is a weird middleman in all this, because he was asked similar questions. He was asked about whether there are feuds, because the press has reported that he and his brother William are kind of at odds. And he said, yeah, that's kind of going on.
We're on different paths or something like that. He's like, we're brothers. We love each other, but there are differences.
The stories have been that she, Meghan Markle, doesn't necessarily get along with Kate, who's kind of the only, that's, of course, William's wife, because that's kind of the only person who can really understand being under this kind of scrutiny, and they're kind of at odds, and there's rumors that they're going to move out of England, that they might move to Canada or somewhere else to kind of escape. That has been mentioned once or twice.
Tom Brady and
Meghan Markle.
Yeah, it's a are going to move deal. To Chicago.
So who is upset about this?
Can we take a break, do some news, and find out?
Okay,
no break?
There is no break.
All right, darn it.
Wendy Williams.
I feel sorry for Wendy Williams, and Wendy could use some help and has admitted to it, but I am mad at her for... Go
for
ahead.
Well, here's what she says. Here's what these are comments from Wendy Williams. For those of you who don't know, talk show host Wendy Williams. She says, Megan, nobody feels sorry for you. You know, you knew exactly what you were doing, and I applaud her non-plotation of the royal situation. But please, don't try to garner sympathy from us. You knew what you were doing. Partially correct, but it's one of those things, I'm guessing, because I've never been married to a royal.
Not yet.
You kind of know that it's going to be tough. It's going to be different. You got to do a lot of, you know, it's wall-to-wall functions, official functions for the kingdom. But, I mean, she's being criticized in every way, shape, or form, and she has been from day one. So I don't know how you judge her. I saw this last night, and I felt so sorry for her. And I said to my wife, this isn't just a kind of a masked cry for help. She's crying out for help.
Publicly. You
know? Yeah.
And Wendy Williams has had a lot of issues. And does she want us to say we don't feel sorry for her?
Right. Good point.
That's what I meant.
Good point.
I didn't say it properly before, but that's what I mean.
That's a very good point.
Shame on Wendy Williams.
You got the feeling when you watched this that this was one of the, I hope I'm wrong, but it had all the earmarks of the beginning of the end, where both of them, and I'm not saying that they would split up from each other, but there, something's got to give, because this is a girl who just obviously is not appreciating the way her life is going right now. It was really interesting to watch and hard to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I so disagree with Wendy Williams, because she said, no one's feeling sorry for you. I felt sorry for her every second of that show last night.
I felt sorry for Wendy Williams. She went through a very bad time.
Yeah.
And yeah. No one's telling me not to feel. See, that's another thing, too. Don't tell us who to feel sorry for, Wendy.
Right. Right. It should be up to you.
I don't know how Wendy Williams has been on the air so long.
Why?
She's just Why? A very I don't know how to describe her. I don't know where she came from, and then all of a sudden she was all over the place, right? And she's still there.
Right. Right. I don't know.
Interesting.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll get you some news.
No break.
There is no break.
I know. We can't get
there
this
is no break.
Out.
Here's what we'll do. We'll give you the news, and then we want to talk about
phobias
and fears. Everybody's got them. They're irrational. We'll discuss that next.
It's 11:30 on WGN, and time for the news.
I'm not afraid.
Yeah. It's been a ride.
Everybody.
I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one.
I'm afraid that someone's going to swear in this song.
Yeah, be careful.
What are you afraid of? We're about to find out. I know what you're afraid of.
I've been afraid of needles my whole life. When I was a kid, I had it really bad, and the doctors always said you'll grow out of it. When you're older, you won't be afraid of needles anymore, and instead it intensified. I'm more afraid now than when I was a kid.
Trypanophobia, the fear of needles. It's not uncommon. Most of us don't like injections, so think about being chased by a bloodied, undead zombie nurse with a very large, very dirty syringe.
Yep, that's what I've got, that bedpanophobia.
No.
What is it?
Trypanophobia,
not bedpanophobia. I'm also afraid of those.
All right. I also heard that I have to get my flu shot. People, get your flu shot. It's been predicted it's going to be a terrible flu season this year.
Mm-hmm.
I also heard that the nasal spray, whatever it is, you got it 1 year, but then they said it really is not effective for adults.
Right.
They are working on it. They're not going to have it yet this season,
mm-hmm.
but next flu season, it's going to be as effective as the shot.
All right, then I'll get that done. I just can't go in for a shot.
See, I'd rather get a shot than have something snuffed up my nose. Yeah.
I can't, like, even in a movie or a TV show, I can watch, this is crazy, but it's true, I can watch a character's head getting cut off without even flinching, but if they have to get a needle in their arm, I can't look
at them. You have to look away?
Yeah.
All right. I am afraid of, I don't know if I'm really afraid of clowns, I just don't like them.
But a lot of people have that, right?
Coulrophobia.
Coulrophobia is a fear of clowns.
Originally intended to entertain children, clowns unfortunately often have the opposite effects on the youngest members of the population, causing childhood traumas that lead to a lifelong fear of these oddly painted freakish beings.
Mm.
And I remember going to the Shriners Circus, and my mom and or grandma going, go say hello to the clown,
mm-hmm.
and like pushing me to go talk to them.
Mm-mm.
And I mean, I'm not really afraid of them, but I certainly don't like to hang out with them.
Do you remember for years there was a giant, it was a billboard, but it was one of those that's painted on the side of a building, and it was for Carnival Straws, and
yes.
their logo was that demonic-looking
yes.
clown? Were you able to even look at that?
Yeah,
you could?
Because it wasn't right there next to me.
Oh.
That's what I mean. It's not like your fear of needles is truly a phobia. I mean, you know,
right.
it's you got to do this to be better for you. You know, if you need a shot or if they need to take blood, you know you have to do it, but it doesn't help.
Right. And I've tried everything. You know, they've said, well, you got to blindfold yourself, or you got to put headphones on and listen to calming music or whatever. None of it matters. As soon as I go into a doctor's office, I have them swear that no matter what is wrong with me, they will not take blood or give me a shot. And sometimes they can't do that. You know, sometimes that's impossible.
Can't they give you a Valium so you're all loopy and then you don't really care?
I don't think that would work. They've tried other things like that.
Why wouldn't it work?
I don't know. I know it's an irrational fear. And the weird thing is, as I'm getting like the shot, it doesn't even hurt me that bad.
we've all had shots.
I know, but
pinch.
It's just, you can't.
It's just the idea of the needle going into my skin or somebody else's skin. I can't do it.
You know, it's because you've told this and you've explained the story about, you know, you told the doctor one of us is going to leave.
Only one of us will leave the room. If you give me a shot, right. Only one of us will walk out of here.
I hear you tell these stories, and I've not really seen you react because there's never been anywhere where you've gotten a shot in front of me. But Jimmy Mack had eye surgery. He had cataract surgery.
Yeah.
And when the nurse said, you know, I'm going to put these drops in your eyes, we need to get this medication in there. And he goes, I'm kind of leery about somebody touching my eyes. You know, he had eye surgery when he was a kid a couple times.
Yeah.
So he's just freaked about that.
Yeah.
When the nurse came over to put the drops in, he stiffened up. Yeah. I thought he was going to hit her.
Right.
He didn't. But and then here's me going, oh my God, I am so sorry. And she goes, oh, I've seen this before.
I'm sure they have.
And I'll see it again.
Right.
It's just totally irrational.
That's the craziest part is you know when you have one of these, you know it's irrational. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't help, though.
It doesn't matter.
Ophidiophobia, from the Greek word ophis, or snake. Dave Ennett mentioned he doesn't really like snakes. It's a phobia common to many people.
Indiana Jones.
In varying degrees. Very good.
Right.
There's just something about the way a snake slithers around your ankles that makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck. And knowing that things are slithering around in the dark where you can't see them, it's just creepy for some people.
I've told you this, but when I was in high school, I worked at a toy store in Lincoln Mall. And on this particular store, it was a store called Toys by Rizzi. They had a lot of what they call plush or stuffed animals. They were all over the store.
And
they
very would
hang
neon.
From the ceilings. Very neon. They didn't look real because most snakes are not neon pink. I'm sure there's one or two, but most of them aren't. And there was a couple that was walking through the store, and then all of a sudden she just screamed like she saw a dead body, and he raced her out of the store. And I went afterwards to see what happened. And I said, what happened? And he goes, it's the snakes. I go, what snakes? He goes, the snakes on the ceiling. And it was. It was a giant neon yellow and pink snake. And I said, but that doesn't even look real. And he goes, it doesn't matter. She does not like snakes, obviously.
You and I kind of both have this, but acrophobia.
Fear of Dan Aykroyd.
No, I like
it's
him.
Not, I do, too.
I have Belushi-phobia. Belushi-phobia.
You do?
No, acrophobia is the fear of heights. It's been suggested maybe simply an early adaptation to a world in which falling posed a significant danger to early human beings. Fear of falling and fear of loud noises are two very common inborn fears. So acrophobia.
Did you ever see that picture from the 1940s of a bunch of construction workers up on a building and they're all just kind of sitting on a plank between two buildings?
A beam, yes. A beam. Were they like having lunch and stuff? Yeah. Yeah, I remember seeing that.
That picture makes me dizzy.
And so astrophobia, there was acrophobia, which is the fear of heights, and astrophobia, as with the fear of falling, fear of loud noises is completely natural. So fear of thunder is not really that unusual. Combine it with the fear of electric shock from a lightning strike and you have a really big combination, a deadly one. I'm a little afraid of loud noises.
Yeah.
Like if I'm just chilling and somebody, you know, drops something, I kind of have a weird reaction.
Bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have more of these phobias. What's your phobia? We'd like to hear. 312-981-7200. It's Bill. It's Wendy. It's WGN. Things that scare you the most. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And we're talking about phobias. There's mysophobia. M-Y. Not like mice.
What is this one?
It's defined as a pathological fear of contamination or germs.
Oh, interesting.
Bro has this.
Oh, is that true?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
This was a condition said to have plagued reclusive billionaire Howard Hughes in the later years of his life.
Right.
Rumor had it that even his daily newspaper came wrapped in an outer layer of newspaper. So that you just don't want germs. I think we all kind of have a little bit of that.
What was the one? Remember on Better Call Saul, his brother had this thing where he couldn't have direct light. Now he was afraid of direct
electricity.
Light in the house and electricity. Yeah,
it was all involving electricity.
He thought there was some sort of extra juice in the electricity that was toxic to him. Is that realistic? People have that?
I bet they do. That's not on my list of phobias. These are the top 10. Mm-hmm. So there's another one that you may have. What is it? Cynophobia. The fear of dogs.
No, mine's not a fear of dogs. It's just...
you don't want them as pets.
I don't understand why people have them.
Oh, they're so cute.
Mm.
Some people are so affected that they're even afraid of cute little puppies. No, everybody's afraid of the large, horrific, wolf-like mutant canines that stalk the halls of certain places. I'm not afraid of dogs
no,
at all.
I don't have any fear of them.
Arachnophobia.
Spiders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like them, but I don't... It's just that all of a sudden when you look and they appear, that freaks you out.
They're otherworldly. They look like they're from another planet. And I'm just glad they're small, because it's one of those things that... think about if they were 10 times the size that they were, that they really are. How frightening would that be?
But didn't you always think when you killed one that a bigger one was going to come back
revenge.
And get you? Yeah.
They're very vengeful, the spiders.
And those thousand-leggers even scare me more, because they're so big that, like, you know, if you're walking down in your basement and you happen to you flip the light on and you're, like, eye-to-eye with it sometimes, that's a freaker.
And the spiders we have in our houses don't have hair on them, but I've been to zoos where they have, you know, tarantulas and stuff.
Oh,
where
yeah.
Just a lot of hair on it. I don't know why that makes them creepier, but it does somehow.
Barbara has a fear that she'd like to share with us. Phobias, we're talking about them. Barbara, what are you afraid of?
I am afraid of going down escalators.
I kind of get you. I take my time and make sure I step on it properly, but why are you afraid?
I have no idea. All I remember is I was probably about 7 years old, and my mother took me to Marshall Fields on State Street, and I told her to go first and I'd follow, and I never did, and she had to come back up and take me down the elevator.
Is it just down, Barbara? Does up scare you as well, or is it only down?
Mainly down, especially if it's a two-story escalator.
Well, the ones at Marshall Fields were very narrow. I don't know if that adds to it, but I do remember as a kid.
I don't know.
No?
You know, I don't know. And I think, you know, now that I'm an adult, of course, you think about people standing at the very top of it.
Yes.
Lots of times you'll see children playing up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
there's also something psychological.
That's my phobia. It's still with me.
You know how,
years later.
Wow.
You know how at the end of an escalator, the stairs just kind of collapse into oblivion. You see a greenish light down there, but you don't know what exactly is going on. It's just the stairs go away. I bet psychologically to a kid, you play
there's
it out and you go,
there.
I'm going to end up where the stairs ended up in just no man's land.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think it was getting off of it.
Oh, maybe.
Making sure.
You know, Barbara, an interesting thing is, like, I'm okay to climb up a ladder or going to our attic, climbing up, but then coming down, I have reservations. It's harder to get a footing or something. I don't know. I don't know if it's any relation to the escalator.
Yeah, that makes sense. That does make sense, the footing, getting off of it.
Sure.
At the right moment, maybe that's it.
Well, stay away from the escalators.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
In fact, when I go with my children, I tell them, one of you go in front of me and one of you behind me.
They're flanking you.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Barbara. We appreciate it.
Several years ago, my family and I were in Telluride. We were skiing in Telluride, and there was a guy that was afraid. He could ski, but it was getting off the chairlift
that
would
scared
be me. Him.
I would know. It's just the release. It's
getting
on something, but getting off, that's when all the adrenaline kicks
in. I guess
in.
So. Yeah, I guess.
I hope he skied before, because I never have, so that's why I would just never get off.
Right.
Hi, Joanne. What are you scared of?
I'm scared of getting locked in bathrooms, especially on the planes.
What? Now, what do you think is behind that? Have you ever been locked in a bathroom ever?
Yes.
You were.
I was a teacher, and I was locked in a bathroom stall. I could not get out of it, and I had to present awards, so I finally climbed under it.
Oh my God.
In a suit and heels. But when I'm on a plane, we just recently flew home from Amsterdam, and finally I had to use the restroom during an 8-hour flight. But the whole time, I'm afraid I'm going to get locked in. And of course, before we left, there was a story of somebody getting locked in the restroom on a plane.
That is the worst place to be locked in as well.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yes. I hate to go in one, let alone be afraid of being stuck in there.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. That falls under the umbrella of agoraphobia, often thought to be a fear of public places. Agoraphobia is also a fear of being trapped, of being unable to escape, being suffocated by crowds, unable to break free, and I kind of have a little of that.
Yeah. I know two people similarly who, you know, when you need to go into a hospital for that x-ray where they put you
in. Oh, the MRI?
The MRI.
Mm-hmm.
Both the people I know cannot do it.
That's why they make open MRIs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's something real about that. In an MRI, it's like you're going in a giant toilet paper tube.
Right.
It's just really right. Weird.
That was the original name for it, too, Wendy. They had to change the name. People found it offensive.
All right. We'd like to invite you to join us on the stream. And if you stay here at 7:20 a.m., the news is coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.